Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. As usual, we're going to be keeping it real. Our guests live in the studio today are Desiree Eden Ocampo and Audrey Voon from Rahab's Sisters. They have a benefit coming up. It's a Galentine's Day evening of collective singing plus soul care to honor women and femmes and raise funds for Portland-based nonprofit Rahab's Sisters. It's coming up Tuesday, February 13th, and we're going to talk about it. Okay, so stay tuned. All right, we are here. Welcome, Desiree Eden and Audrey. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Lisa.
Let's pull those microphones closer to you. This is live radio, in case you just tuned in. Rahab's Sisters. Now, that organization, it's actually, I think it's national. There's parts of it that are national. Talk about it. What do you do?
Yeah, we're actually very local right here in Portland. And, you know, Rahab's Sisters really builds community through radical hospitality with women, trans and gender diverse individuals who are marginalized by poverty and homelessness and sex work, violence and drug use. And I know you just asked me what we do. And I just want to point out this morning, as people are still waking up and listening, what we do really doesn't make who we are, right? Like, if we're just talking about...
Tell us more.
Right? Like, if we think about, like, we always say, okay, you, the radio host, me as the executive director, and Audrey as this beautiful musician artist, is like, all of that just doesn't make us who we are, because we are so much more than that. And that's kind of really the ethos of Rahab's Sisters, or Rahab's Sisters, is that each person, Rahab's Sisters is an extension of each person that's in the community, right? But I know people want to know exactly what we do. Well, we all take our lead from the guests that we are in community with, all the people that come to our space. And sometimes that looks like having support groups. Some that's either facilitated by mental health workers or a peer. Sometimes it could mean like having foot care or haircuts or having a clothing boutique that people can shop at or a supply shop. And we're really big on food. And so we have this signature weekly event where we serve food restaurant style. And anybody really can come and just be themselves. There's no barrier to entry. And also, like, we offer support for housing retention, whether that's rental assistance or, hey, you just got hit with this medical bill that you had no idea that was coming. And if you pay for it, you might just lose your housing because there's nothing else. And so we see that as rental assistance or housing retention. Or we also offer housing placement, whether that's helping folks stabilize to first get into a shelter or transitional housing, or just maybe even staying at a motel. And also, like, gosh, we have so many partners, but I'm going to call out a couple partners like Equi Institute or Cascade AIDS Project, who are on site with us, with community health workers, whether that's first aid or wound care or some additional resource navigation or HIV testing. Hep C testing, but I could go on and on and on. But, like, I've got a friend. Her name is Audrey Voon, and she's pretty dang awesome. And I would love to have her share what Galentine's is. And
yeah. Audrey, you're the producer of this event. So what is Galentine's Day?
Yeah, so Galentine's Day. I first heard of Galentine's Day when I was watching the show Parks and Rec with Amy Poehler.
Of course you did.
And so I don't know if they made it up. I imagine it existed before that in certain, you know, varieties, but that's where it became popular.
Yeah.
So I have been celebrating it with my friends ever since, and with the choirs that I direct. I used to direct the St. John's Women's Choir, and so I would bring them little galentines to rehearsal and chocolates and stuff. And last year, I was coming back from taking a maternity pause from having my kiddo, and the first thing I wanted to do was this Galentine's event. And so I thought, what better way to celebrate with my community than by inviting everybody in to celebrate the feminine in us all? And that's kind of how it was born, this event. It's called Heart Song.
You guys are blowing my mind right now. I mean, I never hear people talk about you, but somebody must be. I mean, I feel like I know everything, and I'm so glad you're here in this room right now, because now we know.
We are too.
If you just tuned in, our guests are Desiree Eden Ocampo and Audrey Voon from Rahab's. I'm going to say Rahab's sisters. There must be multiple ways. Rahab is a biblical person. I almost said character, but I don't know what the word is. But
yeah, and it's actually a pretty common name in the Palestinian world.
That's completely fascinating. Yeah. Go ahead, if you're listening right now, and look up who was Rahab. Anyway, can you talk about the history of this local chapter, this local Rahab sister? How long have you guys been around?
Gosh, we've been around for so long now, off on 82nd, kind of like near Burnside. And we are actually celebrating our 20 years this year.
What? Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, we're kicking off with Galentine's as a benefit to Rahab Sisters, and we're going to close this year with a huge fundraiser. So if anyone's listening and this mission resonates with the folks listening, please do come to Galentine's. But really, it started out with like a group of fairly courageous clergy folks from the Episcopal Church and some lay people. And it just working or outreaching to folks who are working at night on 82nd Avenue 20 years ago.
We love
and,
you all.
Yeah, and that just really grew to like having a safe space to like first have coffee, come inside, be safe. And now to this full-grown, full-blown nonprofit with staff for, gosh, close to almost 20 years. And the better part of that 20 years was volunteer-led, supported by individuals like you and me and Audrey and mom clubs, other churches, what have you.
What's a mom club?
Oh, gosh, like moms coming together, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, hey. There's power in us moms.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. As I hear you describe this history, yeah. Desiree Eden, it reminds me that when I see the issues that we see that are playing out right now, I don't think a lot of them are very new. Some are definitely.
Yeah.
But there's the issues that you're talking about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
These things really aren't new. I mean, can you just talk about that a little? If I ask you, you don't have to answer every question I ask you, because I get it. It's early in the morning, right?
Right.
But this one just, I think about it all the time.
You know, that is true. It's not new. You know, that's why we've been around for so long, because it's been around. It's just right now it's so visible, right? And there's a lot more people now in the city, and because this city is a great city. And like probably most people who live in the city, we're all, you know, mostly transplants. And, you know, like I myself with my family chose Portland because we love Portland and we want to be here and we choose this city. And so do a lot of people. And it's not a new thing. But, you know, I think somebody asked me, like, what are the people facing?
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's, I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah. And here's what I say. You know, like, this is what I see our community facing. They're faced with having to choose between going into a shelter to stay warm. Like, if you think about the Snowmageddon we just had, choosing between that or choosing to have to face the person that they're probably trying to get safe from, because there's not a safe, there's not a space or a shelter space where it's just for women or trans or gender diverse folks. Like those are the things that they're facing. Or sometimes, you know, we're seeing guests facing having to choose between getting treatment for their breast cancer or getting that life-saving surgery that they desperately need, or foregoing it because the only experience they've ever had at the doctor or at the hospital was a terrible one, and they don't have anybody to go with them and say, it's going to be okay, because they're all alone. Or facing having to choose transitional housing or permanent housing between that or leaving their kind of almost like 18-year-old son or daughter out in the street because they're not ready or they don't qualify or they need other services that are just not available to them at the time. So it's like, as a mom, like, I totally get that. Like, I am not going to leave. I mean, I don't care if they're 18. They're still my child. Like, mm-hmm. why would I leave them out in the street and be there by themselves when, yeah. So those are just some of the things that were, you know, that I see people face.
Yeah. Audrey, I wanted to go back to you and ask, how did you get involved in Rahab's Sisters?
That's such a good question, Lisa. So I have been part of a faith community out in Montevilla for almost 15 years, which is Montevilla United Methodist Church. And that's actually where Rahab's is currently housed in in their temporary location, temporary long-term probably.
Yeah.
I know y'all are looking.
Shout out to the good folks at the Montevilla United Methodist Church.
They're wonderful people. I actually started going there because I was getting paid to sing. Right out of undergrad, and the people were so welcoming, and not in a pushy way, but just in a, like, hey, you can just be you kind of a way.
Yeah.
So I stuck around and have been part of that community ever since. And for a while, I was working in the office at the church, and that's how I heard of Rahab's Sisters, because I was getting to know the different organizations and the other churches in the area, faith communities in the area. And when I read about Rahab's Sisters and the work they were doing and the people they're serving, there was something inside my body that was like, oh, that's right. And like the radical hospitality, that idea, I was like, yes, just feed the people, give them a place to sleep, give them what they need. Don't make them jump over through hoops and over all these barriers. So the mission really resonated with me. And you all have been in my awareness since then, and I always thought I would volunteer, and I just haven't yet, but I thought maybe this would make up for it.
Oh my gosh, she's more than making up for it, right?
We're talking about a Galentine's Day fundraiser for Rahab's Sisters. It's February 13th, and we're going to talk about that more later in this hour. Our guests today are Desiree Eden Ocampo and Audrey Voon from Rahab's Sisters. Their mission is building community through radical hospitality with women and gender diverse folks who have been marginalized by poverty, houselessness, sex work, violence, and substance abuse. And honestly, you're talking about family. That describes my family, and I know it describes other people's family too. What is radical hospitality?
Oh, gosh. Thank you for asking that. I love that question. I get asked that a lot. But radical hospitality really is about striving to break down barriers of shame and fear and judgment. Right? Radical hospitality is like getting to the root of hospitality. It's not like we all think about hotels and all of that, but really it's getting to the core of what hospitality is, and that's creating a healing space where everyone feels safe. Everyone feels valued, and they're able to find solidarity with one another. And it means, like, just whoever you are, come as your whole selves. And however you show up, you're good enough.
So it's kind of like a pop-up community center once a week. Am I imagining that? Am I being weird?
No, you're not being weird. the community kind of extends that. So for the longest time, I think we were meeting in every Friday night for this fantastic signature, like I was saying, a signature dinner served restaurant style, right? Come as you are. We don't ask you for your name. We don't ask to prove who you are. You just come, and we don't even say how much do you need. But we just say how much do you want, right? Mm. Because need could be, people could judge how much do they really need. But just like, how much do you want? There are no limits. We're allergic to lines, you know, how much, don't stand in line. People stand in line for stuff. But yeah, we are, we have a drop-in on Wednesdays where people really can meet other folks. And there's nothing worse about going through life alone, right? Life is better with people. And we're made to be, we're communal creatures.
Mm.
Right? We're not meant to be alone. And so that's what Rahab's Sisters really is. So we've got a drop-in time on Wednesdays. We're extending those hours. Stay tuned. We're adding another day just for resource navigation. And we're probably, I hear an Alex Wilson, our community health program manager, who's going to speak at Galentine's. She might talk about how we're going to have a health clinic soon. So, yeah, so we're and thank you to the folks at the United Methodist Christ and, Church in Mondo Villa, who's also making that possible. So it's not just a once a week thing. We're constantly in contact with guests, whether that's through texts, social media, or phone calls.
Yeah. You're raising a couple questions in my mind, but first I want to say someone was just trying to call, and I love you, listeners, but I don't have an engineer who can take your calls. I have to engineer the show myself. And this is my moment to say, if you're listening right now, you should be a KBOO volunteer. You should come in here. You should learn how to use this board and be my engineer, okay? My name is Lisa Loving. Thank you. That was my weekly blurb about that. But Desiree Eden Ocampo, you're raising questions in my mind. Yeah. Like, you know, when people, you know, asking people what they want instead of what they need, and being available with no questions asked. What are the dynamics of people coming in and asking for help that our systems create that make those important moves that you've chosen to do?
Oh, that's a great
question. Why is it important that you're doing that?
You know, I often see folks who like come just sheepishly and they're like, you could see in their eyes, they're like, should I ask for help? Should I not? Do I even, you know, you look through their eyes and you're like, oh, I could just see that they don't feel that maybe they deserve something. So it used to be where people were like, well, I have like five people back in my tent. Can I have more than one? And it's like, you can take as many as you would like. And like, you don't have to ask permission, you know? And those are some of the things that like our systems have sort of ingrained in folks. And I'm going to go back to some of the things that people face. You know, I think about another guest who have to choose between, okay, am I really worth it? Can I really make it through becoming a student at PCC? Because they're so used to being told all their life, oh, you're not going to amount to anything, you know, whatever. It could have been the school system, or it could have been the family system that says you're just not good enough. So those are some of the things that, like, the traumas, really, that people carry. Or just say, okay, I have to prove my worth, that I can't have this blanket, or I can't have this jacket, and that's okay. And so we love donations, clothing, stuff, but we also love brand new things, because
people never get them.
People don't get them. Yeah. And I remember the first time we had culturally specific hair care, and how people just felt seen when they saw that. And those are, and they are expensive, more expensive than other things, and they shouldn't be. But again, that's our capitalist.
That's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. Thank you.
When you mentioned resource navigation, talk about that a little bit more. I know you mentioned some of the things you did earlier, but I know you cut it off a little bit too. When people come in for resource navigation, what happens? Like, where do they go? What happens?
Yeah.
And what's available to them?
Well, really, we say, okay, what are you looking for? How can we help? How can you you tell us? So it could be just somebody saying, I really don't want to be outside anymore, right? So it could be that it was like, okay, let's find you someplace. Unfortunately, we all know that there's wait lists for shelters, so that is a little tough. We do offer placement in motels, so we try to do that. Or it could be someone saying, like, I would actually like to look for a job now, but that requires me to have an ID. Well, okay, so that would be helping resourcing them and helping them find somebody that, or fill out the forms, pay for the ID, because most of the time they've had to replace their ID several times. And
costs,
I think it's
money,
only
yeah.
free replacement. I don't even remember if it's even a free replacement one time, but it is expensive. And also, like, having to prove that you are who you say you are, because to just say, hey, I qualify for, Medicare or whatever health care that they qualify for, that takes a lot. But if you've been living outside for a long time, you know, you carry everything that you own with you. So even if you go to an interview, where are you going to keep your things during the day so you can go interview or go to work so that eventually, you know, if they want to, live inside.
A few weeks ago, we had a guest on this show, Paul Soucy from the Portland ID Project, and he talked about that at length. He's just a dude out here doing the thing, and he doesn't have like a 501c3 or anything like that. And the obstacles stunned me. I never really thought about it, but this is the point of why sweeps kill people. I said that. And he talked about people that he has helped too, like all kinds of people from all over the country. And, you know, again, I'm reminded of when I listened, and this is, I don't mean to be harsh, but when I listen to people on the city council sometimes, the Portland City Council, talking about people that live in tents, people who need to be swept, stuff like that. I feel like they don't know people. And I guess all that's just political rhetoric to get reelected, I guess. But it's just that idea that if you live outside, it must be something you did and you must be bad. And I don't think that's true at all.
That is true. I mean, I don't think it makes anybody bad or whatever circumstance that might have placed them in the circumstance that they're in, because every story is unique. Right. And so that's why with Rav Sisters, it's sort of like, you know, when you come for the first time, and we're a community of housed and unhoused folks. Like, let me just, you know, I want to make that clear, that it doesn't really matter. Like, that's not the first thing we ever ask you. We just say, we're so glad that you're here. How would you like us to call you today? Because, you know, that your name is sacred, but also protecting your, say, your legal name is also really important. Because a lot of times, we like to criminalize a lot of things and a lot of what we do, right? And a lot of times our guests don't even know that they have this criminal record. So sometimes they're like, oh, I didn't know we had a, you know, they wouldn't know that they have a warrant for an arrest or something. And all of that. So, like, they discover it by surprise. And so we also work with a PCC clinic for criminal expungement. So they are on site with us talking with guests and saying, hey, let's see if you have, you know, a criminal record that could probably be easily expunged. And so that's just been a gift. To do that, because there are a lot of things that can be expunged, and be cleared off the record.
Otter, did you want to add something?
Oh, no, I just think that's so cool. I didn't know that you offered that, have that connection and that resource for people, and that's amazing.
Truly, I've never heard of the PCC Clear Clinic for Criminal Expungement, and you know I'm going to be looking them up as soon as we get off the air. If you just tuned in, our guests are Desiree Eden Ocampo and Audrey Voon. They're here representing Rahab's Sisters. They have a wonderful event coming up. It is a benefit called Galentine's Day, Evening of Collective Singing and Soul Care, to honor women and femmes and raise funds for Rahab's Sisters. It's Tuesday, February 13th at Monteville UMC, and it's called Heart Song, a Galentine's Soul Sing. Did you know I cry every time I go on the air anymore? I do. I'm like, I'm tearing up. Like, 7, 8, 9, it's okay not to be fine. Just put that out. So I was talking with Audrey in the lobby. And I think I mentioned this to you in emails, but there's this idea called the third place, right? I love this idea. And it originates, I'm going to read to you right now for a second, this idea of third place. It's become really important since the pandemic, since the lockdown of the pandemic. But the term third place originates from a 1989 book, The Great Good Place, by sociologist Ray Oldenburg. He characterized third places as locations that facilitate social interactions outside the people you live or work with and encourage public relaxation. I love that. They are places where you encounter regulars or frequenters of a space, as well as potential new connections. Third places tend to foster light, pleasant conversation and are free from expectations of productivity. Mm-hmm. That's from today, like the TV show Today. I think that was really well done. I've read a lot about it lately. Can you talk about that idea and why is it important?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because we really truly are a third place. And in fact, this is how guests describe our space sometimes. And they're like, it's like having high tea. It's like, you know, going over to your bestie's house and just having a good old time and relaxing. And it really is important to have this third place. As a society, you know, I think there was research that came out of Harvard that we are lacking these third places in general. And because we don't have these third places, we no longer have places where people of different socioeconomic classes and beliefs could come together and be exposed to one another. And the study in Harvard said that the one thing that can bring people out of poverty by, I forget how many percent now, you know, these statisticians provide these probabilities, the one thing that is the thing that can really do some good and move that needle is when you are spending time with people not in your social class. But we lack these third places where you can do that to make that human connection. And so Rahab Sisters is absolutely this third place. I'm probably going to date myself. You remember that sitcom Cheers, right?
Everybody knows your name.
Yeah. And that's truly Rahab Sisters. Everybody knows your name, or at least the name that you want to go by.
Right.
In this past month. I mean, I remember somebody came in, one of the guests, and I said, oh, hello, so-and-so. And she goes, oh. You remembered my name. And that made me feel good, because it is hard to remember the many names that this person goes by and to remember which version of themselves they're presenting today.
I want to go back to that. What I hear you saying is that you're creating a space where people can have control over their own socialization, and even down to their how they're called. Like, why is it? I want to say this again, and I know you touched on it earlier, but the idea of names and having control of your name and their labels. Talk about that. Like, when you talk to people at the event, what do they say to you?
Oh, gosh. Like, you know, I just go back to, like, you know, me as a BIPOC person, and to feel safe and be seen for who I am. You know, and I want to talk about my talk to the folks who are progressives, right? Like, we're always talking about equity and diversity, but sometimes also when we do that, we forget that that applies to everybody, including the folks that who are you know, not housed,
most at risk.
Yeah,
most at vulnerable. Risk.
Sometimes we have a tendency to think about, like, who that applies to, but only the people who are visible and seen, not the people who are truly out in the margins and are unseen. You know, that people who we have dehumanized. So that's really, really important. Yeah,
I'm fascinated that you have you dig down that much. For a project like this, I interview loads of people that do different kinds of social change projects, but you're right there. You're right there. You know, you got your arms around people, and in a theoretical way. I don't mean that everybody's hugging each other. Everybody doesn't want to be hugged, but it's very personal.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And that's why I love Audrey with his Galentine's, this idea of, like, connecting the divine in us, right? And because it was like, gosh, we are just so aligned in our values, because that is truly it. If we forgo, the divine in us is invisible to the other, then we've dehumanized them and the other, right? We've lost that connection.
Right. If you just tuned in, this is Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Our guests today are Desiree and Audrey from Rahab Sisters. Their mission is building community through radical hospitality with women and gender diverse folks who have been marginalized by poverty, houselessness, sex work, violence, and substance abuse. Dude, I'm just going to say that is my family. Like, this isn't like a thing where you're just doing a charity thing. You're talking about my family. Anyway, shifting gears a little bit, going to Audrey Voon. Audrey, tell us about this event that's happening February 13th, the Galentine's party. Where, yeah. What made you think of it, and what is the point of it?
Yeah, so I celebrate Galentine's Day every year with my crew, my friends, and my communities. For those who don't know, it was made popular on the show Parks and Rec. And last year, when I was coming back from maternity pause, I wanted to share my music because I've been, throughout the pandemic and my pregnancy, I started writing music. I started meditating more regularly and music started coming out of me. I've been a singer my whole life, but that was, I guess, what I needed to really get in touch with the music within me. So I had all this music I wanted to share, and Galentine's Day was coming up, and I was like, oh, I'll just do a little concert thing. And so I did with my friends Gianna Crenshaw and Josephine Woolington.
Gianna Crenshaw, thank you.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah. And they'll be at this year's Heart Song too. And it was just so beautiful. We had food. I love feeding people. We had food and we sang together and we sang to everybody and did sort of meditation. It's just what I love to do anyways in group spaces. And it was just such a lovely event that I wanted to do it again this year. But this year, a year later, I feel like I have a bit more capacity. I feel more energized. I feel a little bit more sure of my direction, my path in life. And I really wanted it to be a fundraiser, because one of the things that I am realizing is that, yes, I have this voice, and there's more I can do with it than just what I've been doing. There's room for growth here, expansion. And so I love the idea of having this event where I get to do what I love. I get to invite my friends to do what they love, and we get to uplift and amplify the work that is being done in our city to help those who are, not just help those, to be with and move next to and live with others who could use support, could use resources. And then everybody gets what we need.
Building common cause. Can you touch a little more on the themes that Desiree Eden was bringing up, the idea of connecting to a divine feminine? I'm cracking up because I read who Rahab was, and this sense of, I mean, that's an ancient story. I would describe that as ancient. And when we look at these issues, I mean, they are ancient. When we solve these issues of poverty in the United States, we're all going to win the Nobel Prize. Yeah. All of us. We will all win it. But talk about that a little. I mean, you're reaching for a kind of spirituality there that's not necessarily Christian. And I don't mean to be anti-Christian at all. I'm just trying to ask you, like, you're connecting something that's spiritual and heartfelt to art and to social service. So just talk about where you're coming from with Heart Song and Soul Sing.
Yeah. So I just to speak to the feminine aspect, I believe that we each have feminine and masculine within us, feminine and masculine energy, tendencies, and they're not necessarily connected to gender, but have more to do with the way we move in the world and the way we approach life. And so when I think about the divine feminine and celebrating that, I'm thinking about celebrating that part of us that is connected to creativity and nurturing, that is connected to life-giving force. And I believe each of us has that within us, and we have the ability to move through life, allowing that to unfold and to touch others. And so, there is definitely a spiritual aspect to Heart Song. There is this, I have this desire that when people gather with me, that we're singing, and it's beautiful, and it is a way to practice self-care, to tend to our soul, because our body and our soul are so deeply connected. So that's what I want when people come to Heart Song, is that, to me, Heart Song is my gift to you, my gift to all of us. It is the song that I hear when I hear my little kiddo laughing, or when I'm having a hard time and my friend says just that kind and gentle thing that I need to hear, and I feel this sort of symphony in my heart, and I feel this song coming through that makes me think, oh, okay, I can do this, and this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm here for. So it's my ode to the world. Art,
you know,
song.
This is the United States. It's a fundamentalist country. And if you're a person of color, if you're African American, if you're Native American, this is a post-apocalyptic landscape. That's how I see it. And we hear so many people citing religion. If you're listening to this in a podcast format, today is the day that Donald Trump's case goes before the Supreme Court to see if he should be thrown off the ballot because of the insurrection on January 6th. And so many of the people, this dude that runs the House of Representatives, and I'm going to be rude. I'm going to say he's a Bible thumper. And I don't even know what that always means. But what I appreciate is the people who bring real values to humanity, right? And then just put them on the table, right? Instead of, judging people, or this whole concept of what is a charity versus actual social change is important, actually. I don't know if you want to talk about that. I think about that.
I do have one thing to say about that. And this is a borrowed idea. And to the listeners who do look to the Bible for their guidance and their divine guidance, right? That I would just love to say, to it's easy to be a Christian or what have you, or a follower of the Old Testament law of the Ten Commandments, but it's so much harder. But the call is to be a Christian of the Beatitudes, and the people who understand. Would know what that mean are probably the folks that you're calling Bible thumpers. So that
fascinating.
Is just what I'm going to call out.
Fascinating. Yeah. All right, I hear you. Yeah. And I won't use that term again. These are deep conceptual waters, though, in our culture. And it's so many of us become hostile towards any kind of organized religion. And it's because we see it used as a tool of politics, basically. Yeah. And that's the concern. If you just tuned in, our guests today are Desiree Eden Ocampo and Audrey Voon. They're from Rahab Sisters, and their mission is building community through radical hospitality with women and gender diverse folks who have been marginalized by poverty, houselessness, sex work, violence, and substance abuse. I want to go back to your benefit, the Galentine's Soul Sing on February 13th. Audrey, who's going to be performing there?
Ooh, this is so fun to talk about. So I'll be hosting and I'll be leading us in song and I'll be performing. We have Black Butterfly performing.
Love Black Butterfly.
Yes. Colin Hogan. These are all superstars in the world. I'm very excited. Okay. So Black Butterfly, Colin Hogan, Emily Dalfois. We have Gianna Crenshaw, who I mentioned earlier, Josephine Woolington, Gigi Warren, and Tony Hill.
So for people who get tickets to that, like, what kind of music is that? Like, what will they be performing? I haven't heard of everyone on that list, but I've heard of a lot of them. What, for someone who gets tickets from you, from the website, we'll talk about how to get those tickets at the end of this hour in about 15 minutes or so. What kind of music is that? Like, what should people expect that go?
So they should expect an interweaving of music and spoken word. The music is diverse. So we have some more folk, earth-based a cappella music. The songs that I'll be doing are kind of like that. We have some more R&B rock music. We have some singer-songwritery kind of how would I describe that? Jana's doing this piece that is just so eclectic, and there's a movement artist who's going to be dancing. And what else do we have?
Well, Black Butterfly, that's going to be spoken word poetry.
Yeah. And I think she might be doing some underscored music with that too.
Cool. We're talking about, let me pull up that information. It's the Portland-based organization, Tuesday, February 13th at Montevilla UMC. This benefit is called Heart Song, a Galentine's Soul Sing. If it's Galentine's, like, can dudes go? I mean, who should come?
That is such a good question, Lisa. Yes, everybody, regardless of gender, is invited to be there. Galentine's Day is to celebrate women's friendship originally, and I am kind of taking it on and using it as an opportunity to celebrate the divine feminine in all of us, which doesn't have anything to do with gender. And so everybody is welcome. Women, men, non-binary, whoever, everybody is invited to be there.
All right. I want to shift gears again. I'm a gear shifter this morning. Both of you, when you look around this city, I ask everybody this, what do you see when you look around our city?
Yeah. Because, you know, when I look around, I just see people who love to be here and want this place to be a place that they call home and where they can feel safe and just enjoy the city. And that goes for whether that's somebody driving their SUV or riding their electric bike or their scooter, or somebody who's walking from bus stop to bus stop, where they can work and call it home and enjoy it and be safe. That's really what I see. And I know people are like, well, don't you see the tents? Don't you see, you know, maybe the feces on the sidewalk? Yeah, I see that too. And yet, like, I don't see, oh my gosh, somebody's gonna go take care of that. I'm like, wow, like, I really care for this city, so I'm gonna try and take care of that myself. And not in that, like, saviorism way, because, like, no individual can solve anything, right? It's about us coming together as a community and say, like, I care. So I'm going to do what I can do in my capacity and do something about it. That's really what I see.
What do you think, Audrey?
That's exactly what I see. Are the people like you, Desiree Eden? I see people who see things, see how things could be for everybody to have what they need, and see that change isn't going to happen unless they become part of it. And I was thinking about some different, just these small little pockets, little organizations or some big ones, but then even just individuals, neighbors who are helping neighbors. Oh, that's even in neighbors helping neighbors. That's one organization. Yeah. That I see doing what we need to do to help each other, to be with each other and to make our city a loving place, a safe place, a place that is for everybody who wants to be here. Because like you said, I feel like the people who are here, we love it here. There's a reason why we stay.
We love rain, gray skies. No, I love it here too. And I moved away to another country once and I just insisted I had to come back here. I had to come back to KBOO because KBOO is what I love the most here. One of the things I love the most about this city. But what fascinates me about what you're saying is, you know, again, this is an election year, and we see people running for mayor, we see people running for city council. And so when I am an information hoarder, I really am. It's kind of unhealthy. It's not kind of unhealthy, it's totally unhealthy. And I can't stop reading about these people. Look, I'm these peopling the city council. I can't stop reading about them. And I mean, people on the city council say what they say. And then that their words are taken and piped through the filter of Willamette Week, the Oregonian, the Portland Mercury, OPB, whatever. And I'm not always sure that what we're hearing is exactly what they said, but it's like on that policy level, it's a policy bubble. Let's just call it that. It's a policy bubble. So these people, some of them wonderful and well-meaning and others not so much, you know, more punitive towards poor people. But like they have this discussion. And then meanwhile, there's human beings. There's human beings out here who need to get their birth certificate from Minnesota so that they can get some kind of ID so that they can actually participate in some of these housing programs. And it just... But you're talking about the part of fixing our community that only we can do.
Yeah. And, you know, it takes courage. First of all, I want to recognize that for anybody to run for office.
So much courage.
And I'm not, I believe that anybody who runs for office have good intentions, right? It's the impact that really matters, because that intention might be good for themselves and their immediate family. I'm not going to judge that, right? But how does that impact the whole community? And who gets to have more or have the most? And who does it leave out? And so when we think about voting, who to vote for in this next cycle of election, I would ask our listeners to think about whether that person that you're voting for is not only thinking about their little pocket of social group, you know, or are they really thinking about the unseen, the unheard, and the most marginalized? Because when we think, we have a tendency, I think, to think of the majority as the loudest voice in the room. But that's actually just very few people. But the unseen and the unheard are typically the ones that there's a lot of them. I mean, that's how revolutions are born, right? Because, and that's when you realize, oh, actually, there's more of us who are suffering here. And if we come together with our collective voices, we outnumber the few people with the loudest voices that we tend to think is the majority. Because they're, you know, whether that they're holding the power, whether that is through a seat at the table or wealth or controlling the system, right?
I wanted to ask you too. This show is Keeping It Real, and the goal of this show is to, it's an antidote to despair, honestly. We don't read about your work. We don't read about Portland ID Project. We don't read about people are doing wonderful things all over this town, but we do hear this this policy argument, and it makes... One of the reasons I wanted to do this show was that I was concerned about all of us. And I knew that there were people who wanted to come out and do things, but they don't know how. And so I want to ask you, for people who are listening right now, who have a big idea, no matter what it is, a food project or a coat drive or, you know, whatever it is, do you have any advice for how to bring people together and move forward with them?
Oh, gosh, having those third places is probably a good start.
People should come to the third place and chat about it.
And chat
I'll be darned.
About it.
I'll be darned.
And diverse voices, right? It's because we can be echo chambery. I mean, who doesn't love an echo chamber? I mean, you know, me included, I'm like, yeah, I'm the best. I've got the greatest idea. But actually, no. And then I sit around a room, like, with the two of you. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm learning so much. I'm bringing myself, but, like, you guys are bringing yourselves as well. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be so much better today than I was an hour ago just being with you and having this conversation. But I would say to folks that really want to do something is that to kind of just check yourself, too. Because, you know, we talk about this at Rahab Sisters, that we're not trying to meet people's needs because they have their own innate creativity to figure out how to meet their own needs. Like, and they know how to do that best. We're there to help ease the burden of having to do that so that they're not doing it alone, but we're doing it together.
Talk about the nuance of that. You're not... It's kind of about your motivation,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the sense of, like, I've got to do it because I got to save, you know, I got to save them. So, folks, if our mission is resonating with you and you're like, oh, maybe I need to volunteer, we're going to ask you to kind of check that. Like, are you doing that because you want to save people? Then maybe this is not the place for you at this moment. Mm. We're never going to say, like, never, ever. But maybe at this moment, let's just... work on that a little bit.
I feel like you're talking about the difference between a charity and a social change project.
Yeah.
A social justice project. And
yeah.
They are different.
Yeah.
Charity's kind of like chucking a bunch of money at a wall. In a way. I mean, I'm putting it that way.
Yeah.
Or you might be chucking it at a super sticky wall that's owned by, you know, a corporation that's going to turn around and do some nice thing and drop a penny on the ground. I don't know. I'm being judgy, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes it's the people at the bottom of the stairs that have the best ideas and the most power to actually make a thing happen. But I don't want the mayor to know that.
And that is why, too, like, I just want to point out, no one graduates from the program. Like, no one graduates from Rahab Sisters. You know, some people say, like, oh, when they graduate out of the program. No one does that because, like, I'm now, like, you know, we continue living our lives, and we continue giving ourselves and receiving and helping one another, or just not even help, just be.
Right. You're building a community.
Yeah.
Instead of a bridge to nowhere, that's a bridge built out of policy. I'm not against policy, but there's a place where somehow in Portland, I think the most important thing to know about this town is that the policies and the people are so far apart. And I think that it was the real estate speculation that actually was the trigger of creating so much poverty in this town. And by poverty, I mean people living in the street. Anyway, we are thinking about running out of show a little bit. So I want to kind of go back over some things. We're definitely diving into some deep conceptual waters. But I do want to ask you, though, Desiree Eden, one more thing. Does anything in your work surprise you that you see out here? The people, the things they have to say. Does anything surprise you about it?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think this work is as old as time, right?
Really?
I'm just going to share some of the joyous surprises, because that's what I want to remember and carry with me, and that keeps me in community, is just like being surprised sometimes of how, and I shouldn't be, but just how brilliant folks are. You know, I remember this one time when I met one guest, and she just started telling me how to engineer and code software, and wanted to know if I had access to a particular computer that was Unix based. And I'm like, oh, maybe. But I'm just like, wow. Because most of the time we look at people and
judge them, even if we don't realize we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. We just say that's who you are because that's what you do.
One of the things, just to follow up on that, one of the things, I love innovation and I'm fascinated by innovation. Like what makes new ideas grow? What makes new things grow? And the thing that strikes me the most is that and
Karl Marx would tell you the same thing.
The best and brightest people are some of the most oppressed people in this country. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt in my mind, especially the anecdote you just told, that there are people who don't have a place to live, people living in a tent, people who are barely making it. And some of those people could be president. Some of those people could be a city commissioner. Some of those people could be a scientist. And that, to me, that is the biggest heartache and the biggest struggle in our culture. Yeah. Because I kind of, in a way, our culture was kind of, the United States of America is an institution that was never created for everyone. And yet here we all are.
That's
so
right.
What do we do next? So I want to just go over the details of the wonderful benefit that is coming up February 13th. And I want to give the microphone back to Audrey. Tell us one more time what's happening. Give us the date, the time, the name, all of it, the place.
So this Tuesday, this Tuesday, February 13th, at 5 p.m., we will open our doors at Montevilla UMC out on Southeast 80th for Heart Song, A Galentine Soul Sing. This is an evening of collective singing and soul care to celebrate women and femmes and to raise funds for Raw Hobbs Sisters, who we've been speaking with today. And this is also, so folks will get there at 5 p.m. if they want. There's a maker's market, and I know I didn't talk about that yet. So there's a little maker's market. So I really, last year we had one table. Gigi had her Georgina Warren collection items there with some herbal tea blends and bath salt blends and artwork and photography and jewelry. And I wanted to expand on that this year. And my whole, something that was really foundational for me this year when I was planning Heart Song is that I really wanted to uplift women and femmes, and I also wanted to uplift women and femmes who have been maybe more marginalized. So that includes BIPOC women and femmes, that includes LGBTQIA folks, and I feel very honored that I feel like I put the call out and the people answered. So we have a maker's market of all women makers. We have food, there's jewelry, there's candles, there's gifty items. So you can come and buy a gift for yourself if you want, or someone in your life. And then at 6:30, the doors to the music space will open. so folks can wander down. And we're actually going to start with a little bit of gentle movement, some yoga and song. Colin Hogan and Emily Delfois, they are amazing, magical people who use music and yoga together to generate healing space. And then the rest of the evening from there is an interweaving of music and song. And my hope is that anybody who comes to this will feel very nourished by it in body, in soul, in mind, and that it will feel like an act of self-care. And one thing that I feel like I have to highlight about that term self-care is this idea that self-care is community care. So self-care to me is not a luxury, it is a necessity. And spaces like Heart Song, like this event, are meant to encourage us to practice self-care and do it in community so that our heart work, that the way we want to live in the world, that the changes we want to see in the world can happen when we leave the space, because it ripples out the effects of tending to ourselves.
Awesome. We got to wrap up this show. And Desiree Eden, it was wonderful to talk to you. Like, that hour flew by. I didn't even sleep last night, and it was great. Desiree Eden Ocampo and Audrey Voon, representing Rahab's Sisters. Find out more about Rahab's Sisters online at rahabs-sisters.org. That's rahabs-sisters.org. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Special thanks to KABU Public Affairs Director Ender Black and Program Director Asia Hawthorne for making this all possible. KABU Community Radio is reemerging. Get involved by emailing volunteer@kabu.org. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.